This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, Sharp Money. What's up, donks? As we welcome you in on this November 20th, 2023. And November 20 should get you excited because this is absolutely a mammoth week for America. Thanksgiving coming up. How about for VSIN? We've got Betsgiving coming up, which we'll get into with some details. A little competition. Good job, John Goulet, Len Mead, the rest of the crew. We send our best not just to you. I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson, live from the D, but everybody behind the scenes here. There's the big guy. Everybody behind the scenes here at VSIN Management as we get into a big week here on the network as, again, sports talk, sports radio and sports betting, it don't sleep. Specifically, once we get to Thanksgiving, you got three games. You got a Black Friday game down in Miami with the Jets traveling. We've got breaking news to start. We'll get to that in just a second as far as the Jets are concerned, but just set you up as far as the menu for this Monday as we kick off a huge week. Excited to be here with you. You got the NFL Super Bowl rematch and I spy dagger. So again, I always talk about timing and temperament. What does that mean in sports betting? Timing is so important. It's such a razor-thin market, specifically when we're talking about the NFL. So you have to time the market. Three is the number. If you're betting Philly and Kansas City, the team that's catching three, blind bet. It doesn't matter. There's nothing that separates these two teams. And we constantly talk. Back in the day when I was coming up sports betting, there was an implied three-point home field advantage. That doesn't matter anymore. The implication now is 1.7, 2.2, 2.3, somewhere in there, but closer to 1.8-ish, somewhere in there as far as home field advantage. It's been mitigated completely. Now, Kansas City, and not all home fields are going to be created equal. Kansas City, maybe you want to shade a little bit more towards the Chiefs. But again, a Super Bowl rematch. Remember, the Super Bowl was a three-point win for the Kansas City Chiefs. And again, I woke up this morning and DraftKings was still showing three. Okay, so Kansas City laying three. That's huge because I look right now, it's disappeared. It's down to 2.5. Juice 115. More games than any fall on three in the NFL. So it's the key number. So just to let you know where we sit right now, most books across the board showing 2.5, and we show the graphic with 2.5 as well. Eight NBA games today as we kick off the week. You're going to have to wait until tomorrow for some college football and some action, which actually takes away from the holiday spirit, but we can still bet it. 55, the big guy laughing, 55 games across college hoops, including games going on right now, seven NHL games on the ice. So plenty to do as we kick off a big program. I mentioned, big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. How are we faring there at the D? You are sitting next to, of course, Sigma Derby.
Yeah, you know what? Today. It's a Monday of a holiday week. You'd think maybe it wouldn't be crowded. Nope. Completely packed at Sigma Derby. But I do have something I need to bring up to you, because for those of us who cast on over under on the under 50 words before Patrick says donk to start the week, you won, because I believe the word donk was the third word out of your mouth to start this beautiful Monday.
No. And I think donk has taken on a negative connotation. Let me ask you a question. If donk is so bad, why do I call my dog donk and why does she wag her tail? Jeezy, watch. You're a donk. She gets excited. Chill out.
She might think her name is donk at this point.
Now. That's not bad. We've got plenty to do, big guy. Welcome to the show. John Jansen, Fox Sports Philly, the gambler, is going to join us. Steve Fezzik, professional handicapper, who, by the way, Circa Millions, he's in second place right now, which is freaking nuts. So professional handicapper Steve Fezzik's going to join. But I tease that we do have breaking news to start the show. So, big guy, get Salah and get your boy Zach Wilson ready with the audio. Because the Jets, who are 4-6, they've lost three straight. They head to Miami on Black Friday. Okay, have just announced that Zach Wilson has been benched in favor of Timothy Boyle. I'm not kidding. Okay, so the third benching in 13 months for Zach Wilson, the second overall pick in the 2021 draft, who, again, the Jets traded up for. And a lot of this has to go on Douglas, the general manager. Like, this is the decision you get paid for, Mr. Douglas. It's not, we all saw Sauce Gardner at Cincinnati. We all knew Garrett Wilson was going to be a stud at wide receiver. You get paid to figure out one position. That's what general managers are there for. And they botched it with Wilson. And if you take a step back and you think about the Jets situation right now, like, big picture, this was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers a year or two, groom Wilson, and then slowly bring around the project. Well, that, there's no chance of that happening anymore, because under Wilson this year, the Jets have been historically bad. How bad? Under Wilson, 9 touchdown drives in 10 games. Let me repeat, 9 touchdown drives in 10 games. Oh, yeah, they were pretty good in the red zone and as far as third down efficiency, only the worst since 1970. Okay, so as far as red zone numbers and efficiency on third downs, they're the worst team or right there in modern football history. Zach Wilson started for now 3 years. He's 11-20, 21 touchdowns and 25 picks. Now, again, when talking about Zach Wilson, we're going to hear from Sala, we're going to hear from Wilson as well. When talking about Wilson, it's not really about advanced analytics or stats or the win-loss record, big guy. It comes down to the eyeball test. Like, even if you wanted to go simply to CJ Stroud, if you wanted to go to my man in Tennessee, if you wanted to go to even Joshua Dobbs, who last night in Denver, we'll get to that game coming up in just a bit, you can kind of see. And they prove themselves via the eyeball test. Zach Wilson, at no point over 3 seasons, has given Jets fans or just football fans in general any reason to believe he belongs playing this position in this sport. No chance.
He has progressed 0% since he was at BYU, just running around and BSing a bunch of plays out there. Like, remember his 2020 season that got him drafted, Patrick? It was a shortened COVID year. Their hardest game was Coastal Carolina. They came up short. And then all these draft nerds and film guys convinced themselves all offseason that he was some special talent. Like, he is literally, I know nothing about playing quarterback. You played way more quarterback than me. It is evident to me, who doesn't understand how to read a defense, that me and Zach Wilson know the same amount about reading defenses. Neither of us can do it. And what about this? Do you think it's a failure of Joe Douglas to leave Zach Wilson on the roster, to even be tempted to go back to him? Like, to me, if they were all in on Aaron Rodgers and that was the goal to win a Super Bowl with him, you don't allow Wilson to stay on the roster so that you can go back to him at any point. Once Rodgers is the QB1, go get a different backup that makes more sense, because Zach Wilson just ain't it.
Hey, do me a favor. Go to the market and see what Miami's sitting at right now for Black Friday. People are going to be battling for flat screens and watching Miami pummel the Jets on Black Friday. It's American. It's an American tradition. What do you got?
They're laying 9.5 on the road. I think it was 7.5 last night when I looked. 9.5 feels... It feels like the right call.
Here's the thing about the Jets. At least there's a bright future, because while Aaron Rodgers continues to force his name into conversation, and I don't know if DraftKings has will he or won't he take a snap. I don't know if they had the no number listed.
No.
But there is no chance. You can give me the number here in a second. There is no chance Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing football this year. Like, literally no chance. This is what he does for attention. But at least there's hope for the Jets, because here comes Tim Boyle. Now, I gave a shout out to Goulet earlier. Another one, because Tim Boyle, I think, is from where Goulet's from. Middlefield, Connecticut. John Goulet and the Whalers and your boy Tim Boyle. But future is bright, because he's a 29-year-old journeyman who has started 3 games in the NFL. He's 0-3, 3 touchdowns, 6 picks. Came from a couple of powerhouse programs in college football, UConn and Eastern Kentucky. And of course, Tim Boyle was a high draft pick. Oh, yeah, he was undrafted. So that is the dude you're replacing, a guy you moved up to number 2 to grab. Okay, now, Salah had been a good soldier and protecting his quarterback for weeks on end. Yesterday, after the performance against the Bills, and the Bills came into that limping, he didn't have much to say. Here's what Salah had to say about his quarterback after the game.
Who's your quarterback?
We're going to watch the tape and we'll make a decision tomorrow.
Is it possible that Trevor can come
back? We'll look at all of it. I'm not ready to answer any of those questions either.
Okay, so it's pretty apparent. I don't know about you, big guy, but it's pretty apparent to me that Salah was told prior to the game, if Wilson falls flat on his face, it's cool. You don't have to pretend with the charade after in the post-game presser. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and I got to give Salah credit. Like, he's been pretty stoic, all things considered, all season long. I think there's two Robert Salahs. I think there's the Robert Salah that meets with the media and protects his player, and I think there's a Robert Salah behind the scenes who's honest with these guys, because he hasn't lost this locker room yet. But going to Tim Boyle, while Tim Boyle may stink and may be a UConn legend, it's still something that had to be done.
Oh, yeah. He's so legendary at UConn. He left for Eastern Kentucky.
He's a UConn legend.
Okay, let's set up the Wilson cut before we go to break here.
Zach Wilson, after the game, he had to meet with the media since he was QB1 to start the game, and he was asked about getting benched yesterday.
I'm frustrated, but I get it. You know, got to score, got to be in games. When it's consecutive weeks of just doing nothing on offense, you know, you can sit here and say last week we moved the ball, but we're not scoring. Essentially, comes down to you got to score points. So when things aren't getting done, changes got to be made, and I understand that.
Hey, you know what I took from that? He's got a Fitbit, just like your boy.
Oh, he's got a Fitbit?
Me and Zach Wilson have two things in common. We're both not going to be starting against the Miami Dolphins, and we both wear Fitbits to see how we're doing with our steps.
Do you want to borrow some money to get an iWatch?
No, I don't. The Fitbit's just fine. Thank you. Actually, it is an iWatch, you donk. Oops, I'm not supposed to say that. Who is the next coach to get fired? We'll get into that market MVP, overreactions versus reality. But next, just like cranberry sauce, the Lions are frauds.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, Black Friday. If you sign up for the VSiN Daily, you would have saw this from Bill. We're giving away everything for $60. And if you haven't become a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, it's not going to be a better time than right now. Sign up for our Black Friday special today and get VSiN Pro access. So VSiN Pro access means literally you get the bets, you get the leaderboards, you get the betting splits, you get the guides, you get everything we offer through May 1st for $60. It's pretty good. Sign up today. Daily best bets, unlimited access to our exclusive betting splits, 24/7 video access, plus all of our betting guides and best bets from the upcoming College Bowls, Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss our best new subscriber offer of the year. It's probably the best since I've been here, and I've been here for over 5 years. VSIN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. As we welcome you back, and happy holidays. We joked about it at the beginning, but it doesn't get much better than this. I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson, live from the D, downtown Las Vegas. It really doesn't get much better than this week. It's Thanksgiving week. And again, just a huge week for America, as you got three game on Thanksgiving. You got a game on Black Friday, but you got a game tonight, a Super Bowl rematch right now with the Chiefs laying 2.5. So we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. We've got Like, Love, Loathe, our takeaways from week 11 in the NFL coming up. We have Steve Fezzik joining. And Fezzik, who is, again, he can rub people the wrong way because he's outspoken, but he is one of the best NFL handicappers on the planet. There's really nobody close, because this is a dude, and we've known him for years and years, but this is a guy that won the Super Contest 2 years in a row, back to back, and then he is sitting second in Circa Millions right now. So this is a big time NFL sports bettor, and he's going to join us coming up in about an hour and a half. John Jansen of Fox Sports Philly, the gambler host, will join as well. Dustin Sweetelson, as I mentioned, live from the D, and I wanted to bring up the Detroit Lions. So they picked up a 30 31-26 dub at home Ford Field against the Chicago Bears yesterday. If you take a look at the NFC playoff picture, the Eagles are sitting with your one seed, and the Lions right now at 8-2 would be your two seed. Do you know if the season ended today who the Lions would be hosting there at Ford Field?
Lions.
Nailed it.
Vikings?
Minnesota Vikings. You nailed it with the loss yesterday in Denver, but they're sitting 6-5. Just to round it out, the 49ers would be hosting the Seahawks, and the Saints at 5-5, the Cowboys. Now, again, I want to be proven wrong. Okay, and you saw Marshall Mathers. You guys know Eminem, right? That is probably the best super fan across all 32 NFL teams. He was going freaking crazy on social after the Lions come from behind. They were down 12 with 4 minutes to go. You looked up the win probability at the time. The Chicago Bears had a 98.2% win probability. So again, it was a tremendous comeback, but that kind of belies, and it's a disrespectful notion that the Bears had a 98.2% win probability, because it completely throws away 3.5 quarters of ineptitude by the Detroit Lions. And again, I know everybody has to stand on pride, because every outlet loved the Honolulu Blue and Silver coming into the year. They love Dan Campbell for Coach of the Year. As a matter of fact, give me the Coach of the Year odds right now. He is so short in that market, and it's all because he was essentially crowned the winner of Coach of the Year before the season started, and it's all about validating those numbers. What's the number right now?
It has gotten shorter. It was +250 a week ago. It's down to +125. We're very close to having to lay money on Dan Campbell Coach of the Year, which is wild.
Well, may I ask you a question? It's possible Matt Eberflus isn't even the coach of the Bears next year, correct?
Correct.
Dan Campbell, the Coach of the Year, who will eventually be Coach of the Year this year in year three with the Detroit Lions, was outcoached yesterday by Matt Eberflus. However, perception rules, and he is very good at yelling in the locker room after the game. And here's what the Detroit Lions winning locker room sounded like after they beat the Bears 31-26.
We are a resilient team, gentlemen. We are resilient. We're going to find a way to win. They freaking came out and they fought us, but we fought harder. And we went and got the win. That's outstanding. That's division win number two. I got one game ball. All right. Hey, listen, to make the rally that we did and to come back, man, we needed some stops. We get the stops. Offense, we go down. We strike. We need another stop. We get the stop.
The Detroit Lions gave up 334 yards to Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears.
First game back,
the Raiders,
by the way.
What's that?
First game back for Fields, by the way.
The Raiders gave up just 323 yards to the Bears. The Bears, of course, fell apart late, and the formula for the Chicago Bears at this point is not to win that game at Ford Field. So it's the perfect turn. Like, again, you see a lot from Fields, you fall to 3-8. That's perfect. So a huge comeback win. The week before, the Detroit Lions gave up 421 yards to the Chargers. It took a heroic performance late in a 41-38 walk-off win in Los Angeles against a team that potentially could fire their head coach before Thanksgiving. So that's not great. Combine the Bears and Chargers against this Detroit Lions team, who's 8-2. They're 10-1 in the market right now to win a Super Bowl. Gave up 49 first downs combined to the Bears and the Chargers. Oh, by the way, a few weeks back, the Ravens had their best performance of the year, had 503 total yards. What am I telling you? Again, I want to be wrong. Don't smirk at me, because I see the little smirk crawling on your face because you think I'm sandbagging because I grew up a 45-year-old loser as a Detroit Lions fan. I'm not. I'm just telling you, trust me, this is untenable. They can't tackle, they can't cover, and oddly enough, because the game ended with a Hutchinson sack, they can't rush the quarterback. Now, again, the post-game speech is cute. And I love Dan Campbell. And it is impressive that he says the F word that many times in a row. Like, he just fires it off and he yells at the top of his lungs and he's freaking jacked. I get it. But he has been consistently, and yesterday was the perfect example, down 12 with 4 minutes to go. He has been saved by Ben Johnson. And what is Ben Johnson doing? He is puppeteering Jared Goff. Jared Goff, the same quarterback that was traded away by the smartest offensive mind of football in Sean McVay after he took him to the Super Bowl. That's correct. That Jared Goff. Jared Goff, who now people write that he's resilient, he's got resolve, he's got mental toughness, he's got ice in his veins. You know what they say that? You know who they say that about? He's got ice in his veins and he's resilient. People that aren't very good. He's improbably bad. For 52 minutes, Jared Goff was the worst player on the field. Three interceptions, should have been a pick six. He hit a linebacker there with the Bears right in the chest. So it should have gone the other way. For a pick six. He was being booed off the field at Ford Field. So again, if you're looking for a team to bet, and this isn't sour grapes because our 40-1 Bengals went out the window with Joe Burrow's injury, but 10-1 is remarkably short on a Lions team that is always going to be outwitted at the head coaching position, excuse me, at the quarterback position, and always going to be outwitted as far as head coach. Ben Johnson, who's going to leave this franchise after this year, is covering up for a lot of Dan Campbell's shortcomings. And you can yell in the postgame all you want, but when it comes down to it, in the postseason, these games tighten up and you got to play some defense. The Detroit Lions simply are not capable. Go ahead.
So on February 12th, 2024, that is the day after the Super Bowl, when the Lions are having their parade in Detroit,
right,
and this franchise that's tortured your life for your entire existence, based on what you just said, you will not try and be in attendance to celebrate with your friends and family?
No. See, you're doing shtick. I hope I'm wrong. Like, this is all just, this is almost one of those things where it's self-defense. I'm setting myself up for the inevitable fall. And again, I'm old enough now where it's not really going to break me one way or the other.
You're already broken.
I am a broken man. I'm using a well-reasoned mind. Are you going to pretend like Jared Goff's a good quarterback?
No.
A box score? And I know a lot of people think Jared Goff's a good quarterback. Those are people that don't know football. A box score is kind of like a filter on Instagram. You might think Shorty looks like that, but then you meet her in person and it's not quite the same. Looking at a box score after the game, Jared Goff is going to look pretty good. But if you watch the football game, he ugly. And I'm not talking about aesthetic. No. Jared Goff is, I'm sure he's a handsome man. I have no clue about that. I'm talking about performance. Snap to snap, Jared Goff's performances are consistently ugly. The box looks pretty good.
He's not a special quarterback. There's nothing about his game
special
that makes anyone around him better. All he does is execute a game plan. And the Lions told you everything they thought about Jared Goff when they drafted Hendon Hooker, who can't even play because he's injured.
I'm going to tell you, the scary quarterback, as far as if you're nervous about a quarterback yesterday at Ford Field, was Justin Fields. And they're wondering what they should do with him. How about get him a coach like Ben Johnson? Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, Sharp Money, as we welcome you back. Thanksgiving week. You know, I'm going to say it. And big guy, I don't care what you have to say about this. Even with cranberry sauce involved, Thanksgiving week is the best week on the calendar all year. As we get you back here, Sharp Money, of course, you got the three games coming up on Thanksgiving. I see our next guest. He's bobbing his head. He's a smart guy. John Jansen is going to join us. Now, here's a little controversy. You can check out John Jansen, who does a great job. Fox Sports Philly, the gambler host, at JJansen34 on Twitter. He's on 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, which means right now. So true or false, you bailed on your show to come do this hit with us, John?
Yeah, why would I? I'm already with Sean for 3 hours today. And we're doing another show after that in Hard Rock in Philly. So we're already too much of Sean. I want to talk to you guys. We have you on in the studio all the time. Now, mind it, we're on during the show, so we don't have volume on. It's just because of the beautiful faces that we get to see on the screen. So
yes, it is. You wonder, is that Dustin Sweetelson or is it Ryan Gosling? Is what you think about?
I'll do another button for you, John. I'll do one more for you.
We're in Philadelphia.
You might as well. Okay, let's
the buttons down. We like that.
Yeah. Let's bring John down really quickly, big guy, because I want to make sure that we can hear him. Let's just have him call us because the connection is a disaster. I want to find out what's happening in Philly right now as we set up the connection and call John back. Here's the deal as far as the number. Again, I think there's sometimes, and Steve Fezzik's going to join us in just a little bit. I think there's times where, and Fezzik talks about this all the time, he's just attacking numbers at times. And if I'm looking and I see a +3 and it's Philly and it's Kansas City, I'm just taking the team that's catching three. And that's what I did this morning. Now, most of those threes are gone. DraftKings was sitting 115 on the 2.5 with one, or when we started the program, they're now 118. And I tell you that the 2.5 went from 115 to 118 as far as juice. What does that mean? They're climbing steadily back, DraftKings to Kansas City lane three. You know, timing and temperament, those are two attributes that are so important when it comes to sports betting. Timing, when you get the number, getting the best of it, and then temperament, not losing yourself and getting out of your shoes. Well, the timing, you could have gotten Philly catching three earlier today. It looks like if you hold off, you may hit three again. But remember, there's going to be immediate buyback when the Eagles do go to three. So that number will dip right back down to 2.5. You have to be very vigilant. You have to be very on top. Again, we always talk about the trading screens. Go to VSiN.com for the splits. You can see the numbers moving, right? But again, I'm blind betting it. I'll ask Fezzik about this when he sits in with us. If I see, I don't see a distinction between these two teams. And again, home field advantage, it used to be the implied three. It's probably 1.7, 1.8 to 2.2, somewhere in there. Now, maybe a little bit shaded more for the Chiefs there in Kansas City. I don't see a distinction between the two. So if I can get one catching three, the most important number when it comes to betting the NFL, I'm going to take it. And that's where we sit right now. However, the Chiefs, mostly across the board, are laying 2.5. Big guy, where are we sitting with John?
We got John back. John, you on the line, right?
Yes, I am. I got you. And really good analysis on that three, because I just saw it switch as well. So I got the Chiefs, I hate to say early, it's been 2.5 a lot, but I did get the Chiefs 2.5. So I'm very happy with that number if it stays at three. Especially.
Wonderful. John, thanks for switching to the phone. We can hear you perfectly. Fox Sports Philly, the Gambler host, John Jansen, joins us. So we'll start here. Just an overview. Where are the Eagles? Obviously 8-1, but just give us an overview of the team, the vibes there in Philly.
Yeah, overall pretty good. I mean, they went into the bye with a big win, big division win. It wasn't the prettiest game, and I could say I was at the game and watching it. A lot of the times, Dallas looked better, especially Dak. I think Dak has been amazing this year. We're starting to see, you know, EPA and some other numbers starting to show Dak is one of the best quarterbacks this year. But still, it's the Eagles have won that game. They're 8-1 going into the bye week, and the bye week came at a very crucial time when Jalen Hurts' knee injury was really starting to bother him. So it's going to be interesting, I think, in one aspect of this game is just watching to see if Jalen Hurts ends up running the ball more. And we know in the passing game as well, quarterbacks end up getting better because they can move in the passing game. Joe Burrow had a lower leg injury. Trevor Lawrence had a lower leg injury. And once those guys look healthier, everything started to get better. So I think with Hurts, it's just how healthy is that knee going to be and how much better can he play if it's healthy?
Yeah, John,
give us an idea. Go ahead, big guy. Go ahead.
How much do you think the issues where they were, you know, playing with fire with a lot of these teams, a lot of these close games leading into the bye, how much was that Hurts' knee versus maybe losing both coordinators in the offseason or taking a step back? How much do you put on Jalen Hurts' knee not being 100%?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. New scheme, offensive coordinator. Everything looks pretty similar in terms of numbers from last year to this year. If you look across the board, the Eagles still rate high in a lot of offensive categories, the same way they did last year. A little bit different in how they're doing it. They were a big-time running team last year. This year, it seems like more of a passing team, and that makes sense. Hurts another year into his career, getting better as a passer, and I think we're starting to see elite signs of a passer from Jalen Hurts. And they also have A.J. Brown, who is one of the best wide receivers in the league right now. So it's a little bit different. Numbers are the same. The one number that's just different is red zone. And of course, you can keep teams in games if you're scoring three instead of seven. And that was the biggest thing. And it was hard to kind of pinpoint what the issue was, because the Eagles have the best goal line play in all of football with the tush push, or the brotherly shove, if you want to call it that. They do have big time targets. AJ Brown's a big target. Dallas Goedert was a big target. So they weren't kind of, it wasn't physicality either. It just was some bad mistakes happening in the red zone. And I think a lot of it is running back as well. Offensive line run blocking is graded out very well. I know they get Cam Jurgens back, so it could get even better, but they were already run blocking very well. They just don't have the running backs. You look at rushing yards over expected for running backs. I think it's a pretty good stat to see what they're doing compared to what the blocking is. And the running backs just aren't running the ball very well. Kenneth Gainwell isn't very good. DeAndre Swift had a great start, but he seems to be slowing down a bit. So it's just going to be interesting now that we're out of the bye week, if they can run the ball better in the red zone, if that happens. But really, I think the issue and why games are close is just red zone.
Okay, our buddy John Chance, you got three plays on the Super Bowl rematch. And I'm going to start here. Kansas City's best unit thus far this year has been their defense. If they do have a weakness on defense, Kansas City, John, it's been stopping the run. However, you're going to skirt that a bit. You think Hurts is going to have some success throwing the football. You've got Jalen Hurts going over 235.5 as far as pass yards.
Yeah, it's always tough when you're trying to a game like this, because you know the Eagles, we think, can run the ball, and Kansas City can't stop the run. But I just want to go to what has been working for the Eagles and what I think they are. They are a passing team now. You know, it's a little bit different. And Kansas City has been excellent. I think Steve Spagnuolo has done an amazing job with blitzing, with simulated pressures. I know that's a big thing you've kind of honed in on now with defense. And Steve Spagnuolo and the defense has done all of this. And especially Chris Jones looked amazing. Their secondary has looked really good. But it's just a little bit different when you have a big-time playmaker quarterback who's been a playmaker in the pocket in Jalen Hurts, and then a big-time playmaker on the outside. You know, it's not just speed that's beating him. You know, Miami's speed, so speed can sometimes burn you, but it's physicality. It's that Jalen Hurts is a very physical player when he's out there, also physically just gifted as a thrower as well. But A.J. Brown is physical. You can try and press him. You can try and double cover him, but he's just bigger, faster, and stronger than everybody lined up against him, and we've just seen that succeed so much. I just have a hard time believing that the Eagles are all of a sudden, after weeks and weeks and weeks of not being able to run the ball, just kind of dial that up and expect to run so well against Kansas City. This, to me, is a passing team. I think they're going to live and die by it tonight. It's probably going to be a tight game. I imagine they're going to be a little bit behind early on. Kansas City coming off the bye week, how good they are, prepared they are. So if the Eagles are behind, this is just, to me, it seems like a Jalen Hurts put it all on his shoulders. It's his responsibility. He threw well against Kansas City last year, and I think he can continue that.
Love to hear it, John. I'm actually on the DeAndre Swift under combo yards tonight, so that's music to my ears. Defensive side for Philly against Mahomes in this offense. Obviously, the pass rush for Philly has been great for the last couple of years. They're third in the NFL in quarterback pressures to start the year, and Mahomes is way worse when he has guys in his face. Do you think they can throw Patrick Mahomes off of his game at home in Arrowhead tonight in primetime?
It's one of the most interesting matchups, and I talked about it on my show a little earlier today about that. They are, you know, all the numbers look really good with the Eagles. You know, as you just said, kind of win rate for pressures, actually getting home and getting sacks. They're doing very well. The problem is, though, it sometimes disappears for long stretches. And I think the game that really worried me the most, and I think it was both games that this happened, was when the Eagles took on Washington. And the Eagles just could not get home at all. And finally, in the last game where they were taking on Washington on the road in Washington at FedEx Field, they finally got home at the end. It happened against Dallas, too. Dallas, they didn't get a lot of pressure. Finally, at the end, Josh Sweat gets the sack. It basically wins them the game. So they've been able to get pressures, but they just go so long without it. And I'm just worried that they can disappear in this game for too long for Patrick Mahomes to kind of obviously open things up for the receivers. I think the Eagles should do well. I know secondary doesn't rate very well, and Bradberry and Slay haven't had great seasons, but it doesn't matter at all if Patrick Mahomes is getting some time and he's able to give those guys time, like Rashee Rice and Sky Moore, to get open. But yeah, I think that's the most fascinating matchup. I think the Eagles can get home, but I'm very afraid it's going to be very long stretches without them getting to Patrick Mahomes, and I think Patrick Mahomes can succeed early on in this game.
Impressive job, kid. We'll have you on again, especially during your show. We like you bailing on your show to come do ours, of course.
Oh, I love
John Jansen.
Yeah. Any chance to call on Sean Brace? I love it.
Fox Sports Philly, the Gambler host. You can check it out weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Enjoy the game tonight, John. Appreciate you.
Yep, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your support. And I almost... You used to be at SiriusXM, and one of the things, they wanted you to sound kind of vanilla, like they didn't want accents. And I almost said, my gosh, I've never heard a dude from Philly without a Philly accent. And then he said something like long.
Yeah.
And the accent just came pouring out of him. You could hear the Pennsylvania coming out.
Say words like water, water.
Water. I mean, it is a trifling accent.
It's that in Baltimore, pretty rough accent, if we're being
Baltimore?
Honest.
Baltimore? Have you been to New England? And that's coming from a dude from Michigan. Patrick, like, love, loathe is next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, how about tonight? Monday Night Football. Bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets instantly at DraftKings. New customers, use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P, sign up. Again, $5 to get you $150, and this is for Steve and everybody else. Everybody, a no-sweat, same-game parlay every day. DraftKings, the crown is yours. I'm Patrick Mahers. We welcome you back here at Sharp Money. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out downtown Fremont Street, right in front of Bar Canada at the D with the one and only Steve Fezzik, Fezzik Sports with two Z's and a K. Don't believe the imposters. There are plenty out there. And pregame.com. So we went to break with this one. Steve, you know for a fact, a lot of people are going to be sweating a 6-point tease on Thanksgiving. They're going to bring the Lions down to 1.5, and they're going to bring San Francisco in the late game down to about a half a point. I say about because some would show a pick'em. Do you agree with that tease and walk us through why or why not?
No, I strongly, it's like my cousin Vinny. No, the defense is wrong. Do not tease that game. Now, you could have made a case for it like an hour ago, but that San Francisco line just cratered down to -6. So that means you're going to be able to get the Niners at a money line of less than -280. It's the same bet. So if you're teasing 6 and -6.5 down to half, it's the same as playing the money line. So there's no reason to throw Niner teasers. And if you're laying -120, 6-point NFL teaser, the math is such that's the same approximately as laying -280 per leg. So since you're going to be able to get a money line if you got enough outs, less than -280, I'm going to veto. Get that?
Wait.
Veto? Like,
Back up. Your brain works too fast. Now, just slow down. Tell somebody just tuning in right now, they open up an account 6 months ago. They look at it and they think, well, it's a lock Detroit's going to win and it's a lock San Francisco's going to win. But explain why, because of the San Francisco number to that new better, why that doesn't make sense.
Okay, so the Lions teaser, I fully endorse. It makes a lot of sense. So you tease it down. It's a Wong teaser through the corridor, 3-7. Boom. Go read Stanford Wong, Sharp Sports Betting, his book. I know Stanford Wong, friend of mine. That one qualifies. But San Fran doesn't for two reasons. One, they're a little more vulnerable because they're a road favorite. Road favorites don't win as much. And they're not favored by 7.5 to 8.5. They're only favored by 6.5. So it turns out when you're playing a teaser on a 6.5-point favorite, you're essentially saying, I'm betting them to win. It's the exact same bet as playing the money line. That's why the worst teaser in the world is teasing a 5.5-point favorite, because you're essentially laying -280 per leg on that leg of the teaser, and you could probably get them on a money line like -240. You're literally paying an extra 40 cents. Now, it's not as bad in this case, but I'll say if you shop around and you have enough outs, you're probably going to be able to find -265 on San Fran. So if you want to invest San Fran to just win the game, that's the better investment.
See, Dustin, it's a beautiful mind, but just like on Yellowstone, sometimes you got to do the lasso thing and corral the mind, because his brain goes fast and he just thinks that everybody is on the same. Like, he was essentially a grandmaster in the state of Ohio in chess. He thinks that people's brains work the same speed. They just don't, Fez.
I feel the walls closing in on me.
But you confirm I did appropriately graduate in the bottom 10 of my class.
You confirm it for me every time you speak. I realize how dumb I am when I hear your brain work.
You know what?
I want to do the same exercise that you did with Detroit and Green Bay when I told you the number was 7.5, and you said your true number was 8 on the game. I want to do that with Washington and Dallas and walk us through the power ratings, the number. Like, take us through it. It's 11 right now with Dallas laying at 48.5 on the total.
Yeah, and let's be sure to save some time because I do have some prop bets on the Monday night game tonight.
Of course.
Washington, I have 3 points worse than an average team. Dallas, I have 6.5 points better. That would make the line 9.5 on a neutral. Boom. Home field's worth about 1.5 only, so that gets me to 11. Guess what? The line is 11. It's going to be very difficult to engineer a good bet given my number exactly matches the current marketplace.
Beautiful. All right, let's get to tonight. Steve Fezzik, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Philly at Kansas City. I think we're all excited about this one. 2.5, $1.18. I see another shop going to $1.15, so maybe we get the 3. So again, Steve, if you can find a 3, if you like Philly, it'll get hit back down to 2.5 quickly. But let's call it 2.5 with Kansas City, 46. We'll start side total, and I know you have props. Start side total there.
And I'm like the old guy. Get off my line, my lawn. It's Kansas City minus 2.5, minus 118. I think with more and more people entering, I always say the minus sign. The bookmakers don't. So that way you'll never make a mistake or be confused. 3 props that I just bet today. I bet punts to go under 8.5. These are available on DraftKings. My take is both teams are like, hey, we're going to have to score to win. They'll be aggressive. They'll go for it on 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2. Of course, Philly will go for it because it's an automatic. They basically get 4 downs. Everyone else only gets 3 because they automatically convert 4th-and-1s and 4th-and-1.5s. So I could see some long, time-consuming drives by both teams also. So punt under 8.5. Field goals, longest field goal. I don't care. The kickers are good. I'm going to go under 47.5, subpar weather and aggressive coaches. So I think they'll go for it. If they do have that 4th-and-3 from the 35-yard line instead of kicking with some rain in Kansas City tonight. So because of that, I played longest field goal under 47.5 and largest lead over 13.5. And this is not a math or play. This is just a gut feel. It sure seems like Kansas City, more than any team, when they're in a close to a pick 'em situation, it doesn't seem to go back and forth like 3-3, 10-10, 17-13. That team gets down double digits all the time, and then comes back to win. There was one playoff game, I think they trailed by 24, and like literally by halftime, they were back ahead, and then they got up double digits. So largest lead, I would not play over 14, but 13.5, the price is right there. I'll play over 13.5.
Great job, Steve. Punts under 8.5 for the game, longest field goal under 47.5, and the largest lead over 13.5. Again, if you're looking at a 14, Steve says stay away from that, but he would play the 13.5. Quickly, I have one prop, boys. Devontae Smith over Dustin and Steve, 7 targets. No Dallas Goedert. His target share goes way up when Goedert is out. The 5 games in his career that Devontae Smith has played without Goedert, he's gone 8+ as far as targets in all of 5. So I'm going to go over 7 targets for Devontae Smith. Big guy, what do you got?
Valdez-Scantling over 1.5 receptions. Eagles allow the most receptions per game to wide receivers, and I think he will have Bradbury on him because Slay will get Rice on the other side. He's had over that number the last 3 games. Also, this is my favorite one. It's my first under prop bet of the year. Swift under 81.5 combo yards. Chiefs are great against the pass for running backs, just 88 rush yards per game, and he's averaged only 3.3 yards a pop since week 5. He's not the same guy we saw to start earlier in the year. This defense for Casey's awesome. I see him going under that. Hurts anytime touchdown as well, minus 125. As long as that play is legal at the goal line where he can just roll in on the brotherly shove, I'm betting him anytime touchdown.
You know, that play, you should be able to have one guy push you. I think they need to change the rules. They can't just have the rugby scrum. And I'm a huge believer, Patrick. Bold prediction. There's going to be like 3 guys from New Zealand that are like rugby players. They literally, they're going to recruit in off the to put on the practice squad just to be ready. And to think about it, you don't want your quarterback to get killed getting pushed. You put the rugby guy out there and have 2 other tough rugby guys that are like, you know, well versed and just practicing grabbing his chest plate and pushing upwards and forward while the other guy pushes him in the bum. And it's very tough to stop.
Steve, how is the prop market altered a professional's preparation like yourself?
Yeah, well, the props are where 99% of the bettors should be betting. You should, like, the market is so efficient. And remember, this is coming from, I'm having a dream year in all these contests. And I'd be like, stop, all the time I text people, stop screwing around with these NFL sides. What are you doing? You know, because I'll use the F1 race, for instance. I am sure there's people right now listening to this right now saying, these guys are dummies. I got to bet, like, on how many cars are going to finish this race, or, you know, what the fastest lap was going to be. They were just giving away money, and no one's paying any attention. Who cares if it's a $300 limit or a $500 limit or a $100 limit? If you only bet 100 per game, focus in on something that is extremely inefficient, like I'm sure the F1 racing props were this past week. I was too busy. I didn't do it, but I'm sure I left money just lying on the strip.
I would imagine you and Pastrami, the majority of your NBA plays all props.
Yeah, with the Pastrami, my really sharp friend, he literally will text me. We have an account that's up. You wouldn't believe me if I told you the amount that it was up. And he's like, can't believe you bet an NBA game. What are you doing? You know, he was screaming at me. So
meaning a game itself, side or total, but he'll bet props in the NBA.
An NBA side of you, but madness. What are you doing?
An NBA side is basically hieroglyphics to me at this point. I can't decipher.
If you are smart enough to be able to beat the NBA sides and There's the no NFL chance. Sides at any one point, I'm not talking about like all of a sudden like LeBron James is reported out and you're past posting him in the next 10 seconds. That's information driven. That's fine. But once a market is static, if you're smart enough to be able to beat that market, then I assure you, you can absolutely, you will make millions and millions of dollars. There's betting exchanges at -102 in each direction. You can hit, if you could hit 50.5%, you can make money in these markets, but not laying $1.10, -110, you can.
Steve, you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Happy holidays.
Enjoy the game tonight, guys.
Okay, that's Steve Fezzik, freegame.com. Fezzik Sports on Twitter will enter his free plays as well. And that, of course, is the big guy. Dustin, I'll see you tomorrow right here, Sharp Money.